Love of Swimming is a podcast that celebrates the wonderfully diverse community of swimmers and fantastic swimming opportunities that exist on the Isle of Wight off the south coast of England. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Sandy Cicognani. In 2019, I started the group Outdoor Swimming Isle of Wight as I wanted to find people to swim with in the sea. Since then, I've been on an amazing swimming journey, meeting some wonderful people who share my passion for swimming. I founded a social enterprise to support and encourage people to swim in the sea, trained to be an open water coach, developed the concept of a sea cafe, and have brought the sport of longe cot, renamed sea hiking, to the place where I live. I'm part of the Outside Research Study Team based at Sussex University, looking at outdoor swimming as a nature-based social prescribing intervention for depression, and I work in the voluntary sector on the Isle of Wight. For the Love of Swimming is also the name of a series of community events that aim to share information and inspiration and to connect people through swimming. So if you're lucky enough to live on or visit the island, look out for these events coming soon. Follow us on all the usual social media channels and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast for more personal swimming stories. Today I'm with Charlotte James at the West Wight Sports and Community Centre. Welcome, Lottie, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
thanks for giving me your time. So let's start with some really quick, easy questions, if we can. What sort of swimmer are you?
So I'm an ex-competitive swimmer, and that was pool swimming. I've also done a little bit of open water, done a little bit of master's swimming as well. Started swimming when I was 4 and started competing when I was 9, mm-hmm. and I'm now 23, so mm-hmm. I've been doing it for quite a long time now, but still love it. Yeah.
Excellent. And what's your favorite stroke?
Oh, that is really tricky. So I love all the strokes, and I actually used to do quite a lot of IM events, mm-hmm. Individual medley. I think my best strokes are probably, in terms of sprint, I would say backstroke and breaststroke, but I do love my distance swimming as well, so then it would be front crawl.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, have you got a favourite distance?
Oh, don't know, because again, it's so tricky. I mean, I started off with like sprint swimming and the shorter sort of distances, and then I found a love for distance swimming, so pretty much anywhere up to 1.5k. And then there was a period of time where I was quite poorly, so I had to stop distance swimming and I went back to sprint training. And then it was only a couple of years ago, when I wanted to try and do the sail and swim, that I really got back into the distance training again. So it's sort of been very back and forth, mm-hmm. but yeah, I love both of them.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. What about kit? Have you got a favourite bit of kit that you always have with you, or that you love to?
Oh my gosh, again, there's so many bits of kit that you can use.
And how much of your house is it? How much of your place is filled with swimming kit?
Literally boxes, really? In the house, in the loft, yeah, everywhere. I think my favourite kit would probably be, just because you feel so much faster, yeah. so much more power in the water. But then other things like parachutes as well. So you would use that for like a little bit of drag and resistance. Mm-hmm. Those are quite fun to use as well. But yeah, lots of different bits of equipment.
Anything you've got your eye on that you're saving up for?
Ooh. Again, it's probably fins. There's some really fancy ones out there, some really cool patterns. So yeah. Probably just some more fins. Yeah. Not that I need any more, but you know, they look pretty.
Excellent. And what have you got a sort of a training routine of your own at the moment?
Oh,
what's your sort of?
I wouldn't say there's like a set routine in terms of swimming, because obviously where I'm a swim teacher, I spend a lot of my time in the water with the children. Mm-hmm. So after that, I sort of don't really want to spend any more time in the water. But I think now that I'm not competing as much, I've sort of gone over to doing quite a lot in the gym and doing quite a lot of running. Mm-hmm. And then I normally do about 2 to 3K of swimming in the week. So not a lot, but just a little bit to sort of stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not as much as I used to. I think when I was in my sort of distance phase, I was doing like 5 to 6K sessions.
Wow.
And then that would be about 4 or 5 times a week.
Gosh.
So obviously I've dropped down
yeah.
quite a lot. But then I wouldn't say my love for swimming has changed in any way. It's just that my attention is obviously elsewhere and I'm wanting to help other people with yeah. their swimming.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Okay, and what else was I going to ask you? Yeah, what about nutrition? Is have you got any sort of particular things that you eat or don't eat before when you're swimming?
I think when I was competing, I used to survive off of pasta and rice and things like mm-hmm. that. And then if I was doing sprint events, I would always make sure I had a little stash of jelly babies or something before I got going. But I've never put too much attention or too much focus on sort of the eating side of things, because I think you can sort of get into unhealthy and toxic sort of habits and mm-hmm. thinking. I think as long as you're not going too crazy with the sugar and you're fueling your body in the right way for your longer swims with like carbs and stuff like that, then just stick to that.
Yeah.
Don't put any pressure or anything on yourself.
Yeah. And what about, is there a set amount of time that you have to stop eating before you swim? Or are you lucky? Can you just eat whenever?
I try and eat sort of like an hour before swimming. I think if I eat too close to my swim, it does make me feel a bit sicky. So yeah, I think you're best to sort of eat a small amount before your swim, and then just make sure that you're staying hydrated throughout your swim, and maybe take along a little snack if you are doing those longer distances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I was going to say the drinking water by the pool. I mean, I do that all the time, but when I was young, nobody did it. It wasn't a thing, but it's really nice to see everyone's kind of staying hydrated in the pool.
Yeah, definitely. I think as well, I see quite a lot of people in public swim, or those that have started doing fitness sessions with me. They don't bring along any water or anything to drink. And then they say to me, oh, like, why am I getting cramped? Why am I hurting? And I'm like, well, you're still sweating. Even though you're in the water, you're still sweating. Yeah. So you need to stay hydrated.
Yeah.
You need to take along your water to your sessions.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realise that, do
no.
they?
No.
They're used to it in an aerobics class, but not in the pool.
No, yeah.
Good advice. Right, if we can just sort of go back a little bit. So you said you learned to swim when you were 4. Do you remember where it was you learned to swim and what was that
yeah.
like?
So I learned to swim here mm-hmm. at West White. It was at the very beginning, it was just with my mum and my dad. And the only reason I started swimming is because I was very poorly with pneumonia.
Gosh.
And I was hospitalised. Right. I spent quite a while in the hospital. I couldn't walk for quite a while as well. So I actually started swimming as sort of like a form of therapy. And then it just sort of went from there. So, yeah.
Wow. And when did you kind of get into the competitive swimming?
So
were you just naturally good at it from the beginning, do you think? Or
so my first stroke that I learned to swim was actually breaststroke. Mm. For most people, it's front crawl. So that was quite strange in itself. But I've always been like a natural breaststroker. And I think the teachers picked up on that. And then obviously they developed the rest of my strokes, and I think I've always just had that little bit of a competitive side when it comes to any sport, so I think it just went from there really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excellent. What made you get into teaching?
I think once I'd left school, I wasn't really one of those people that was completely set on going to university. I sort of just wanted to get going with work straight away, and I'm very local to the sports centre, so I thought, why don't I just see if I can get a job working here, and being a swimmer myself, I just thought it would make sense to, you know, help other people to learn to swim So yeah.
That's great. And did you sort of do your teacher training here at the sports centre?
So I did most of my teacher training over in Bournemouth because that's where I used to swim. I had a scholarship over at Bournemouth Collegiate, so they were quite happy to put me through the teacher training. Yeah.
Oh, well, tell me more about the scholarship.
So this was, I'm trying to think how many years now. I went over to visit the school in 2013. I did like a little swimming trial session and they looked at my times from like previous races and competitions and they decided that I was good enough for the beginner squad. So yeah, I started going over to Bournemouth in 2013 and I was a weekly boarder at the school, so I would just go home at weekends if I wasn't competing. Yeah.
Wow. Was that a good time? It sounds quite tough, but did you enjoy it? Was
I think it there was a lot of good and there was a lot of bad as well. I mean, I loved being at the school and I loved having the experiences of training with like all these amazing people. I used to train with a Paralympic swimmer, Alice Tai, and so many other amazing swimmers. So that in itself was an incredible experience. Mm-hmm. Met lots of amazing people, got to visit lots of amazing places, but also I think being quite young and being away from home, it was quite tough. Yeah. At times. And the training was very intense. I mean, obviously when you're training with a Paralympian and sort of national and international swimmers, it's going to be pretty crazy. But then I wouldn't change anything because it's made me who I am today. So
yeah. Excellent. I was gonna say, is there anyone in particular that you've met or that you've just seen and observed what they do? Is there anyone in particular who inspires you in the swimming world?
I think everyone would say Michael Phelps, but then I think just in general, I'm inspired by so many different swimmers and why they started swimming, why they love swimming, why they choose to keep swimming. There's so many interesting stories and interesting people that it's sort of hard to pinpoint one particular person. And then I've obviously had quite a few coaches as well who've inspired me. So I don't really have one particular. Yeah.
No, that's great. I mean, that's why I started these podcasts, really, because, again, met so many amazing people with really interesting stories. So, yeah, it's good to hear this and think the same. What would you say is, and again, another difficult question because I know you've done so much, but what would you say is your biggest sort of achievement in swimming? Or list a few of them.
I think when I was 11, I competed in my first 1500 meters here at West White Sports Center, and my time put me second in the country.
Wow.
So that was quite a big achievement. I think I've actually got the rankings in a frame at home somewhere. So yeah, that was a very big achievement. And then I would say competing on the Island Games team, because we've done quite a lot of training with lots of different people. We've got to see so many amazing places and just experience lots of different things. So that's quite a big achievement as well. And then I would say doing the Solent Swim, that's quite a big achievement because from a very young age, I've always stuck to the pool and pool swimming. And I was one of those people that was a bit scared of swimming in open water. So I never really expected to do such a big swim in the sea. So I think that's quite a big achievement as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell me more about that sort of transition into the sea and some of the things that kind of maybe frightened you at first.
I think I was frightened of not seeing what was underneath me and sort of not knowing what's there. Because obviously it's not always lovely and clear. You can't always see what's going on. And I think just sort of those sort of like fears as well, like those natural instincts of like, oh, like the weather or the waves, just being a bit scared of like all the dangers and everything. And I think one of the reasons I got into the Solent Swim is because one of my good friends, Lucy, was doing it. And she'd actually done it the year before. She said, oh, it's amazing. You need to do it. You do so well because you're a distance swimmer. She's like, this is for you. Give it a go. And I said to Lucy, I was like, oh, I don't really know how to start, though. I'm so scared of, you know, swimming in the sea. And she said, oh, just come along with me a few times and just get in up to your knees, get in up to your belly and just go from there. And it worked. I think it's just sort of that, those gradual steps, those baby steps of just going in for a couple of minutes at a time.
Exactly. And always going with somebody else.
Yeah, definitely. You've got to go with someone else. I think, just taking it slow. I think with sort of any swimming goals or any goals in general, don't put pressure on yourself or set unrealistic goals. You have to take it step by step. I think that's one of the biggest achievements. Doing the Solent Swim.
And talking of goals, have you got any sort of long-term goals with your swimming or just
I would quite like to do the Solent Swim again. It would be nice to see how many times I can do it, but unfortunately I can't do it this year. But I would love to do that again. I think also maybe doing a bit more masters competitions as well. And I think I'd like to do quite a lot more coaching with people. At the moment, most of my work is teaching with children, but I would like to do a lot more coaching.
So. Yeah, and you're offering that here at the Sports Centre.
Yeah, so I can do one-to-one coaching sessions, one-to-two coaching sessions. Started to write out swim programs as well, which can be personalized to you. So those programs are 4 weeks long or 6 weeks long, and you just need to be able to swim a minimum of 100 meters. I love writing sessions, so I'm more than happy to help anyone with their swimming goals.
And you like a challenge as well, don't
I love
you?
A challenge. I think that is swimming. Swimming is, there's always a challenge within swimming. You can't get bored. There's always something you can do.
That's brilliant. And what else was I going to ask you? I've got a whole list here, actually. You were saying that you were talking about being on the beach in the summer. Obviously, we're an island surrounded by lovely beaches. But what is it like being sort of working in the swimming industry, as it were? How easy do you find it to kind of switch off from that?
I think when I head to the beach in the summer, I don't necessarily come out of work mode, because I naturally want to look after and protect people. So when I head down to the beach and I see my own swimmers or other teachers' swimmers, I sort of keep an eye on them, because we don't have lifeguards. Everyone sort of thinks, oh, it's nice and flat, it's nice and calm, nothing can go wrong. But actually, with that sort of attitude and sort of, you know, taking your eyes away, that's when things do happen. So I think I don't find it easy to sort of switch off. I'm still sort of looking out for people and just checking that they're okay.
But do you still enjoy swimming, even though it's a kind of a work thing now? Do you enjoy it?
I think I enjoy open water more now, because I feel like it's more separate. Obviously, if I'm working and swimming in the same place, it can feel a bit stressful. I don't really feel like I've removed myself from work, if that makes sense. So I think I enjoy open water a bit more now. Which I'm surprised to say, quite honestly, because obviously I've been doing pool swimming for such a long time. There's something about swimming in the sea that's so therapeutic, and it's such like a thrill as well. Mm. That feeling when you get out is just amazing.
Yeah. And do you tend to wear a wetsuit or swimsuit?
Yeah, normally wear a wetsuit when I go in, and sometimes I double cap as well. But yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to say, how are you with the cold? I mean, do you enjoy the sort of the cold, or do you wait until a certain time of year to go out?
I'm okay with it, because with the training that I've done over the years, we used to train in outdoor pools as well, and lidos and things. So I'm not really bad with the temperature as such. But obviously, you've got to be careful. Like, you know, look at the temperature, look at the tides, like, don't just go in and be silly and stay in for hours on end.
Can we just go back to last year's Solent Swim? Because I was standing on the shore watching people come in, and there you were at the back. How did that feel? You did come in first, didn't you?
Yeah. I think it was in just under half an hour, yeah. Which is what I know it's not a race, but that's what I was aiming for. So I was very pleased with that.
Yeah.
And as much as in my head I was like, oh, I want to get this time, or I need to get across, it's really lovely to see so many people come together, all at different sort of stages in their swimming journey. And I think what I loved about coming out first is that I then got to watch everyone else doing their swim and then come out at the end, and the smiles on their faces. It was really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. It's such a lovely event.
Yeah, it? Really good. Yeah.
And I think the sun was out, wasn't it? I seem to remember. It was in my head, it was sunny, but
perhaps that was
just the smiles. Much. Don't want to keep you too long, but what I want, this podcast is called For the Love of Swimming. What would you say is the thing that makes you love swimming?
Oh my god, so many things. I think it's you enter your own world once your head is in the water, like, and you can't hear anything else, and you're sort of with your own thoughts, and you can switch off if you really want to. I think that's just the best feeling. No one else can sort of interfere with that world of yours. It's so like calm and therapeutic, and yeah, I think that's it. Being able to escape from everything else and sort of just plod up and down for as long as you like. Yeah, I think that's probably the best feeling. Yeah.
What's the swimming community like in your experience?
I think it's really interesting, because even though we're on an island and we're surrounded by water, I don't feel like the swimming community is as big or necessarily as strong as it is when I've been over on the mainland with obviously different clubs and different people. I don't know if that's to do with just funds or people just don't have the access to certain things. I'm not sure, but I do feel like the community on the mainland is a lot stronger. But then I also think that things are changing over here.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly more sea swimmers now than there were 5 years ago, for example.
Yeah, so things are changing, which is amazing. And hopefully it keeps going in that direction. Yeah. Mm.
Oh, I know what I haven't asked you. Have you got a favourite spot for swimming on the island?
Favourite spot? I love swimming at Topland Bay. I love swimming at Colwell Bay and Freshwater Bay as well. Those
your home turf.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, those are my favourites. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure. And you're a real inspiration.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with everything, with coaching. And
thank you.
Okay.